Willow. I get dizzy every once in a while. Welcome, everybody. All right. How's everybody today? Happy New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Yeah. Next time we meet, it's going to be 2024. I know it is. So we have, So we have the gleaners will be here on Wednesday, 10:55, and open up the food at 11 o'clock. So come and join the fun. And then we have prayer meeting. We have our Zoom prayer meeting, and that's on Wednesdays. And if you go to our website, all you have to do is click on the Zoom prayer, and it goes right to it. It's awesome. So I encourage you to join us on Wednesday, 7 o'clock at night, and it's a great time to just pray for everybody. And then remember to check the mailboxes back there for Christmas cards. I'm sure there's still some back there. I haven't looked, but you can check and see. And then next Sunday, January 7th, is our potluck Sunday. And I'm going to be making some pulled pork sandwiches. So, just so everybody knows, because Sherry left me some pork, so I'm going to put them in the crock pot and have pulled pork sandwiches for us. So everybody come. So starting next Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, we're having Hymn Sing Sunday. So it'll be something new, but it'll be fun. So we can pick a hymn, pick your favorite hymns, and starting next Sunday, we'll be singing. I think that will be fun. Today is 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Landon didn't tell me that. Did you know that? 1-2-3, 1-2-3. That's today. That's right. Today's New Year's Eve. 1-2-3, 1-2-3. So tomorrow will be 1-1-24. Yep. All right. So we wish everybody a happy New Year, huh? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for today. We're thankful that for the blessings that you have given us and this last year of 2023. But Father God, we also look forward to 2024, Lord. And I just ask for safety for everyone as the new year is celebrated, Lord. Keep them safe. Keep them well. And we just give you praise, Lord, for what you do for us each and every day. And we all look forward to 2024 and the blessings that you have planned for us. Be with us as we sing praises to you today. Be with Pastor Teresa as she shares the message that you have put on our heart. And Father God, just let us grow closer to you in 2024, Lord. Let us keep the relationship open between you, Lord. Let us get time to just have quiet time with you every day. We just praise you and love you, Lord Jesus, and what you do for each one of us in our lives. We just give you the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We have our call to worship today, which we didn't light our candles. Just realized. So today it's Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now to... Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.
All right, we're going to start with He Keeps Me Singing. It's a great hymn.
Within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in a love life live and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred with thumbing chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall drink my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
All right, it is truly wonderful.
He pardons my transgressions, he sanctified my soul. He honors my confessions, since by his blood I'm whole. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He brings me through affliction, he leaves me not alone. He's with me in temptation, he keeps me for his own. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He keeps me firm and faithful, his love I do enjoy. For this I shall be grateful and live in his employ. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name.
Amen. In Christ alone. And we're going to go right into In Holy Ground.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, out from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, but with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell no scheme of man can ever pull me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. Standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Jesus now. standing in His presence on holy ground.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Scratchy voice and all, but I'm here. Oh, better is one day in these courts than a thousand elsewhere. Here's our chance to give back. Thank you, Lord, for return to health for many of us. That's a blessing. He offers His healing to us. So let us offer back to Him what He has. Father, Lord, thank You for the many blessings You have given us in our life. Friends, family, this church, fellowship, time at home unexpected to rest. All those things even more important than the money that makes this world work. Thank You, Lord, for that as well, that we can trust You to meet that need so that the more important ones can be met. Amen. I'm gonna lay out a praise. Everyone in my family's been COVID negative for 72 hours or more. Hallelujah for that. We came through it okay, and I slept more than I have in the last 2 months in 4 days. So, or at least it feels like that. That's what it felt like. But He brought us through it. So thank You, Lord. Mike. Mike's asking that we pray for his daughter Sarah and some really tough life decisions that are being made right now. And we'll ask Holy Spirit come and touch her mind, give her wisdom to help make the ones that are the best for her and her life and those that she interacts with. Anybody else that prays or a prayer request? Bill.
Praise on Bill. Thank you all for your prayers.
Yeah. So prayer for Donna Marvel, who is homesick, as Bill was. Bill praises God, he feels better, but you know, when you're married, you only feel so good when your spouse ain't feeling good. So prayers for Donna Marvel to feel better soon. Absolutely. Carolyn. Say Tammy or Tammy? Okay, so Carolyn is lifting up a good friend named Tammy who is really struggling with quitting smoking and needs to do so before she can have some surgeries, some really important surgeries. So prayer for the power to break that addiction. I know somebody who does it so well. Amen. Amen. Josh. Josh is asking for continued prayers for his mental health. He said here that it was schizophrenia and he's having trouble with voices. So we rebuke those voices in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Satan, go to hell. Go home. Leave Josh alone. Jeremy. Yeah, you had a good time with your older brother. Praise God for family. Jeremy's saying, thank you, Lord, for a good time with his brother Bill. And a cousin, Christopher. Or no, nephew, Christopher. Let me get that right. Gotta get the dinner. If you can't keep the generations of your own family right, you're in trouble. Lordy, lordy. I want to thank God for an angel named Tony Marble. Yesterday, we were away from the house a little bit, and Tony caught the bathroom toilet in the hallway running endlessly, flooding over into the rest of the house. Oh, I know. And so I was up till 1 o'clock last night washing every towel on the property that had been used to try to mop it up, and steam cleaning all the carpet to try to get the water out, and got two heaters going in there trying to blast it dry and hoping for no permanent damage, but it looked like it was probably going for about an hour and a half. So it was a significant little well, if we'd had an ARC in that bathroom, it could have floated somewhere. So yeah, prayers for that. I know, just a bathroom, no word. Yeah. Yeah, that rainbow does tell me that there will be dry ground for me to run to, even if I have to run out my front door. But that's correct. Absolutely. Anybody else? Let's praise or prayer. Continue lifting up Debbie's dog groomer, Marcy, as she lost someone. Her dad, right? Marcy's a sweet, sweet soul. Anybody else? Lori Cooper. Continued prayers for Lori Cooper. Yeah. And I'll Dan and Marie Hunley, obviously, as well. Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to ask for prayer for my father-in-law, Lou, as he came through this COVID thing with us. He's really weak again and needs to build up his strength. Really stubborn old man, doesn't want to do his exercises. I love him still. I hope there's somebody like me telling me I'm a stubborn old man when I'm his age and to do my exercises. Anybody else? How about a new year coming? Has he not sustained us through 2023 and everything it brought? Yeah? Amen. Yeah, there's been a lot. And there'll be a lot next year. But if you know who your rock is to stand upon, say amen. Amen. We're going to have to stand on him as this year comes. I know it. So prayer for Hessel Gesser family that is in Vegas right now for New Year's, having a chance to go and relax and take a fun trip. Prayer for safe travels home too. kind of praise to hear you say that Leo went somewhere on a trip for vacation, too, given that not too long ago he was battling cancer. Oh, good. Praise the Lord, he was still a clean bill of health, clear remission status as the beginning of December. We love you, Leo Hesselgesser. Yes. Yes. It's usually 5 years before they declare remission for sure. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Carol.
Yes, Carolyn. Nor will he forsake us. Yes. My mom's just saying in her devotion, she's been going through the promises of God, and it's great to know that he will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what comes. And if we just look at the news each night, what next is going to come? I don't know. Hopefully it's the rapture and our ticket to eternity, but whatever it is, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Anyone else? All right, let's go together as a church family. Father God, thank you for the health to be here today. Thank you for restoring health to many who have been sick. Lord, we know in this fallen world there is illness, there is disorder, there is thought challenges. But Lord, we know that you come and you make all things new. We invite you into our minds as well as our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and restore not just our health, but clear thinking to know and rely upon you. In fact, to be sure of our standing and to be sure of our providence, though this world might be crazy. You are our rock, and we thank you for just being so. Immovable, immeasurable God you are. For those that are ill, that have asked for your healing touch, come Holy Spirit. Touch their minds, touch their bodies. We rebuke illness and we rebuke errant thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. Come Lord, come. We thank you for remission status continued. We thank you for the chance to go on a family trip. We ask for safety and guidance over that and a return safely back home. Lord, we ask that you comfort hearts from loved ones recently departed, graduated unto you. Lord, we ask for those homesick with respiratory issues, Lord, that you reach in and touch their lungs, speed healing for your glory, your name's sake. Thank you for all you've done in my family the last 2 weeks, and thank you for all you've done in this church family in 2023. Lord, we ask that you make straight our path into this new year. Go before us, allay temptations, remove obstacles, blast barricades out of the way, that we may continue to thrive in you in 2024. Thank you, God. And Lord, watch over our homes, our families, businesses, jobs, our children, the roads we travel. And Lord, get into the hearts and minds of those in leadership, local, state, federal. Knock on the doors of their hearts till they open and receive your wisdom to make decisions that benefit all people. And show your love through their actions. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, do we have a kiddo song? Because my voice is almost back. Come on, Bubba. You ready to try to sing a song with me? Let's see what... Alright, let's... Oh, clap your hand. Are you ready? You gotta clap on this one. Are you ready? Are you ready? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise Him. Praise Him, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise Him, praise Him, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Good job. Should we say a prayer for all the children?
A parrot.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
A parrot talking on a phone.
He's saying a parrot talking on a phone, and sounds to me like a parrot talking on a phone.
Parrot.
Father, Lord, thank you.
A parrot is a type of
bird. Father, Lord.
Talk like human. A human.
All right, let's say a prayer for the children. Are you ready? Ready? Father, Lord, thank you for the children you have given us in this congregation and the future of your kingdom they represent. Lord, give us the patience and the guidance and the wisdom to love them when they are frustrating. Care for them always. Speak words from your heart through our lips. The guy. Thank you, Lord, for the crazy blessing they are to us. Amen.
The parrot.
Let's go see if there's a parrot talking on the phone. Then.
Oh, God.
Yeah, parrots talking like humans. Those, that is pretty funny. And it's pretty cool to watch. But I don't think I've ever seen one talking on the phone. What? That would be pretty funny. Good morning to all. To start us off, I have a question. Sister Debbie, if you would pull up our slide for us, our group of questions. What's one of your favorite outfits? Sister Linda, before church started, was asking me about my outfit from last week. What's one of your favorite outfits? Or maybe, you know, you can share two or three of your favorites. For what occasion do you wear it? Share with your pewmate. And so there's some questions listed. What's one or two of your favorite outfits? Why is it one of your favorites? When do you wear it? How do you care for it? Is it hand wash? Is it dry clean? All the things. And feel free to share when you got it, if it was expensive or not. Did you make it? Was it made for you? All the things curious minds want to know. Okay, so pull up into your head right now. What's some of my favorite things I like to wear? Is it this like favorite flannel shirt or your PJs? And share with people why that is. We have about 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Now, it's been really interesting to listen, because you know that the part of my job is eavesdropping. You do know that, right? So I heard some people say, so I don't really have a favorite thing, or whatever fits is my favorite. But anyone want to share? Anyone brave enough to share with one of your favorite outfits? Maybe it's a favorite T-shirt, or okay, we have one. Okay, let's listen to Brother Bill. Yes. Stocking chest warms. Okay. The uniform. So you know what is funny, Brother Bill? So Brother Bill just mentioned uniforms. Back in my military days, that's what I was thinking in my head. It's so much easier when you have a uniform. Because Sister Carolyn, you don't get to choose. You can't go, you can't wake up in the morning like I do now. Gonna wear tomorrow? What am I gonna wear? Because you know, you gotta sit and think, does it match? Is it clean? Does it need a button? Does it need to be sewed or whatever? When you have a uniform, you just get up and then you gotta wear your uniform. And it should be your favorite, because guess what? That's what you're wearing. Yeah, you still have to do the other maintenance, right? Of making sure it's laundered. You can't just show up in your dirty uniform. But the buttons and all the things. But yeah, uniform is a good go-to, because you don't have to think about what you're going to wear and if it matches. Anyone else? You got a favorite outfit, Sister Debbie? Jammies, see? Oh, so my partner and I, we talked about that. PJs rule. And why do we like our PJs? They're comfortable. Yes. If I fall asleep in my PJs, who cares? Yeah. Okay. So Sister Judy says PJs are the last thing she gets into before she goes to bed. And then it's the first thing, you know, you're out of them in the morning into some clothes. So do you have a favorite item that you like to wear, or over the years? I remember as a kid having a favorite thing. Do you have any favorites? So we're at the age now where comfort rules. So I don't think anyone, likes to be in something that's not comfortable. And you said a lot of jeans. Yes. So my pew mate and I were talking about denim because I would love. This is why I got to get my sewing machine back out, to have a denim suit. I want to get a long, full-length denim skirt. Thank you very much. That's what I want. I didn't put that on my Christmas list. I'm just going to make it happen this upcoming year. Because denim is the best. It's just what Sister Carolyn said. It's comfortable. And if I fall asleep in it, Sister Debbie, who cares? Right? It stretches with you. It's comfortable. And I like denim because you can dress it up or dress it down. You really can. You can wear pearls with your jeans if you want, and heels. Go figure. Say again, Sister Jim. And it's cotton. Yes. Right. Yeah, it's readable. Not 70s polyester. That's something. So, yeah, so just things to be thinking about. So keep in your mind the types of things you like to wear, what your preferences, what your style might be, because we're going to go into the Word of God and see what God wants us to be wearing. So we just celebrated Advent this month, the first four Sundays of the month. And this time of year reminds us to think about how we are living since Jesus came and died for us. Advent helps us to prepare for Christ's second return, right? Because Advent means arrival, the coming of. But we all know he's not a babe anymore in a manger. He grew up. He died for us on the cross. He ascended into heaven. And so Advent reminds us to stop and to pause and think about, he's coming again. What are we doing right here and now to be prepared for his second coming? So in the previous weeks, we talked about godly reasons to be hopeful, that we followed our candles on the Advent wreath, to be hopeful, a reason to be peaceful, a reason to be joyful, and last week, a reason to be loving. So we're going to pick back up with that theme today and continue that topic of a reason to love. Loving others is tantamount to loving God. You cannot love God if you do not love the human beings you live with. It's tantamount. So the word of God found in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to be reading from the Message. Listen to what it says. I love this translation, this rendering. So, chosen by God, for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with one another. None of this going off and doing your own thing. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the Message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. Praise God for his word. Amen. Those are some powerful words that preacher's preaching. As I stated earlier, the season of Advent helps us pause to reflect on the meaning of Christ's arrival and the actions we should take in response. So one major response is to become a loving person, rightly reflecting who God is to us. Hence that last candle of love. Salvation from Jesus, God's Messiah, is the ultimate reason for love. Today's passage of Scripture is a portion of a letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Colossae. Now, just a background, Paul actually hadn't been to that city. He had heard of the church growth there from other church planters while he was in Ephesus, which was about 120 miles or so west of Colossae. So what we call now that, if you look in modern day times on the map, it's Turkey. It's the southwestern part of Turkey. So Paul was most likely, theologians believe, historians believe, that he was imprisoned in Rome at the time that he wrote this letter to those believers in Colossae. So in this particular part of the letter, Paul reminds the group of believers that the life of a believer is marked by their love for God and others. He describes our lifestyle as wearing a coat or clothing that's made of God's love. Just as we get dressed each day, God is expecting us to dress ourselves in his love. So you think about your favorite things to wear, whether it's your pajamas or favorite t-shirt or jeans or what have you. As we get dressed this week, I hope that you will be thinking about, how am I dressing myself that's what he wants me to be. And love is vital because it brings to life other godly characteristics into our lives. And so Paul lists them out in that passage. Listen to what he says. I'll read the list to you. Compassion. When you have love for God and love for others, it develops in you the ability to have compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is awareness of another's distress accompanied by the desire to alleviate it. So it's not just, oh, poor Brother Dennis, that's too bad. And then you keep walking. Compassion says, oh, Dennis, I'm sorry to hear that. How can I help? Compassion says, I want to do something about the thing that's causing you distress. It's not just simply going, oh, poor you, and then keeping it moving. So love helps develop compassion in us. It also develops kindness. Listen to the definition of kindness. Sympathetic or helpful. Synonyms for kindness, gentle, loving, affectionate, showing your love for others. It also develops humility in us. And what is humility, Sister Susie? Freedom from pride and arrogance. When you are humble, it's not about me, 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 I. You understand that, yes, this is my life, I am an individual, and I belong to God. So therefore, it is not about me, it's about what God wants. How do I live that out with the human beings around me? Quiet strength, Paul lists. This is a description of a person that's been tested and they've succeeded all of the tests, all of the things that may have happened in their lives. They overcome. And then they don't need to tell everyone about their success. So again, this goes hand in hand with humility because yes, I've been through some things and I thank God for helping me come through and I just keep it moving, right? Versus people, I know you probably have some in your life who are always, oh my goodness, this one thing had happened and I was so smart, Bill. I was able to figure it out and I did this and I did that and I've now overcome. Okay, good for you. You know, and they remind you every 5 minutes of all the things that they did. That's not quiet strength. That's actually being arrogant and letting your pride get in the way. But Paul also lists there discipline. When we have love of God in our hearts, it will help us to develop discipline. The practice of training oneself to obey rules or a code of behavior. Again, now not to be confused with the list of don'ts as Christians that we've developed over the decades and decades and decades. Not that, but the list of do's. What is God inviting me to do? What is he asking me to do? What is he opening my eyes so that I can see, right? And then follow him and engage with what God is asking. And that discipline of listening for God's voice and then actually doing what God is asking you to do, rather than pretending, oh, I think it was my pizza, I'm gonna go back to sleep, because it's something that I don't really want to be doing. No, you step out of your comfort zone, you step out of the fear, and you say, okay, God, I think this is you speaking, so I'm gonna follow. And you do. Paul says, even-temperedness. That just simply means, because he talks about good old common sense, not being over the top or living in the extremes. It's very fascinating to me to watch the United States right now. People, just too many people in the extremes. They're too far left, they're too far right. I want to invite everybody to just come back to the middle. Get out of the extremes. When you're in the extremes, you cannot think right. You don't have good rationale. You just think that because I'm big enough and I'm adult, I can do this. And the answer to that, no, nope, no. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Okay, just stop that. You're going too far. Come on back. Be even tempered. Right. Then he talks about contentedness, being satisfied with your possessions, being satisfied with your status or with the situation. Again, I would temper that with, don't just think, oh, woe is me, this is just the life that God has given me, and so this is what I just, there's nothing that can be done. Like, there are those people who do that too. Like, oh, this is just life. Didn't work out. Oh, well. No, that's not what God is expecting from you. Right? When something's wrong, then you try to make it right. Try to make it right. Don't just accept it because that's just the way life is. It's about being in the middle, not going too far to the extreme. Being content with what God has given you as far as your gifts. Stop comparing yourselves to those people we listen to and you're like, oh, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could play the piano like that. I wish I could draw like that. What did God give you? What do you have in your hand? Just like he asked Moses, what you got in your hand, Moses? Okay, we're going to use that. What did God give you? Be content with what he has given you and use it for his glory. Now, this is fascinating that Paul has also put into the list forgiveness. I looked at that word and I said, oh, is he sure about that? Yeah, because when you love people, you must also be able to forgive people. Forgiveness defined as that ceasing to feel resentment against an offender. That's very interesting. What does that mean? To grant relief from payment of. When I read that, I thought, oh, yeah. That means I'm not holding it against you every single time I see you. That one thing that had happened 10 years ago. Right? That's what forgiveness means. It means I'm actively, it doesn't mean I've forgotten, but it means I'm actively not going to throw it in your face every time we're about to do something, every time I have to interact with you. Well, I hope he doesn't do what he did last time when we were together. Like, you probably haven't forgiven that person if you're still going back there. And that just means you just need more time, you need more prayer. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me not to bring that up. Help me not to keep throwing that in their face. Because that's what God does for us. He says, you know, once you've been forgiven, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I'm not going to keep bringing up all your 10,000 sins. That's not what God does. He's like, no, you got a new slate. Right? I know. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Right. So this is what God is expecting of us, to be able to forgive others. And it's not always easy. I don't think it was easy for God. But he did it. Right? And since we are created in his image, we're supposed to be like him, learn how to love others, which means also being able to forgive other people. Again, temper that with, you don't let them walk on you, take advantage of you needlessly, but you also don't hold it against them every time. You just don't do it. Don't do it. Learn how to put a boundary that will protect you and offer them forgiveness. And then Paul says, he closes out the list with love. He's like, you can't really do any of those things if you don't have love. And what is the definition of love? Well, when you read it in the Bible, it says God is love. That is his ultimate characteristic. It's unselfish loyalty and benevolent concern for the good of another, such as, and this was actually in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the fatherly concern of God for humankind, brotherly concern for others, and also included in there, a person's adoration of God. I'm like, in Merriam-Webster, what? That's the definition. fatherly concern of God for humankind, brotherly concern for others, and a person's adoration of God. So even in a secular dictionary, it reflects what the Bible teaches about love. God loving humanity, us loving God back, and we loving one another. That's love. Being genuinely concerned about the good of another. Fascinating. Now, Paul, if you read the rest a little bit above, and actually I'll read those verses for you, a little above these scriptures that I shared, he provides a contrast to this list of godly characteristics. He says, it's like he's doing a fashion show. What to wear, what not to wear. Have you ever seen those shows? Like, don't wear that. That's passe. Wear this. If you want to be in style and in vogue. So Paul does that in the scripture. So if you read just verses 5-8, I think he lists a few. He says, one of the things, and I love the way the Message says it, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. I was like, oh, that sounds like something I would say today. Stop doing that. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Think about what you are doing and the impact it's going to have on the others around you. When you genuinely love people, you will refrain what you're going to say. You're going to refrain what you're going to do. Why? Because you love them and you do not want to impact them adversely. When you don't care about people, you'll say whatever you think. You're going to do whatever you want because it's all about you. Right? But when you love others, you can't just do that. You can't just do that. Your heart won't let you. He's also put in verses 5-8, bad temper and meanness. I do not understand saints of God who are just continuously grumpy. And just like that, what is with that? Where's joy? Do you not know that it's the fruit of the Spirit is joy and kindness? What's up with the old grumpies or even the young grumpies? That's not a way that God wants us to be. Don't always have a bad temper and being mean to other people. And verse 9 adds lying. Don't do it. You genuinely love someone. Listen to verses 9-11. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So it's a very fascinating way of looking at life, right? I'm not trying to outdress you. You trying to outdress me. I'm wearing Betsy Johnson today. And, oh, by the way, my Liz Claiborne shoes, right? We can get into that, or you can say, you know, everything that I have, God has provided. And I'm grateful for what I have. And I'm willing to share it with the people around me. Because just like love of God, He expects us to share the love and not keep it all to ourselves. So we get out of comparing ourselves to others, and those are good people, those are bad people, and those people over there, and we don't want anything to do with them. No, Paul says, that's our old way of being. Now that you have experienced the love of God through Christ Jesus, all of these people that you see are worthy. And so you're going to now treat people, complete stranger, as if they're worthy. Rather than looking at what they're wearing, what kind of car they're driving, what neighborhood do they live in, what kind of job do they have, you're not worried about their education level. Because you see them as God sees them, as a soul that needs salvation, a soul that needs to understand who God is and that God loves them. Everyone is included in Christ. Now, Paul is reminding us to put on our daily best, not settle for dirty clothes that haven't been washed in a few weeks. Now, sometimes it's challenging when we have kids because they're like, I got that favorite outfit. I remember my kids. They have this one thing that they always want to wear every day, and you're like, but it must be laundry, and it's going to stand up by itself. We have to wash it. We must wash our clothes so that we can wear our best to represent God every single day. Don't settle for the things that have been not washed or well taken care of. Again, think back to your favorite t-shirt or pants or pajamas, whatever it might be. You wouldn't wear them once they've been soiled. Now, if you have been, don't tell anybody. Most people are going to want to clean their items because it's your thing, right? And if you get whatever spilled down the front, you're gonna be like, oh man, now I gotta wash it. I just washed it. You're gonna wash it again. Why? Because it's one of your favorites. You want to wear those pajamas to bed again. You don't want the ketchup or whatever in your bed sheets, right? So you're going to wash it. God is expecting us to wash them, wash our lives, wash our hearts, so we can be ready for the next occasion. We can be ready for the next day to love all the peoples around us. So our attitude and our way of being should be like a washed and cared for, as in the words of Paul here in the Message translation, an all-purpose garment. Our hearts are an all-purpose garment. We should never be without our garment of love. There's an old commercial, you know, that says, never leave home without it. Well, as believers in Christ, never leave home without love. Never, never, never. Just don't do it. When you wake up in your house, you should have love right there, ready for you, because you got to show love to your family. It can be difficult at times, but even they deserve God's love through you. It's not just when you want to. You get to wear the love of God. Let's go back before we go back to the scripture, Paul also builds on the garment of love that we should always wear. He teaches that not only do we have a reason to love others because God loved us, right? But our love should also unite us with other believers. And that leads us to our second set of scriptures in that same passage. Because he says, you got to love each other. You got to put on that garment of love. And when we consistently do that, it's going to build unity in us. So now let's go back to verse 15. It says there, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. And I love this. It says, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. So when you're part of the family of God, when you're a part of a congregation, you don't just go and do your own thing. We are accountable to one another. We gather together and we decide, okay, what are we going to do? What's our game plan? Okay, how are we going to let Gales Creek know about the love of God? We talk about these things. And then we go, okay, let's do it. We're not just out willy-nilly doing whatever we want. We come together. We unify ourselves for God's glory. When we are united in Christ, we move together for God's glory, and that's how we build the kingdom of God. We're not working on building our own individual kingdoms. Now, this happens in any congregation. You will have people who are only concerned about getting their name out there because they want to be citizen of the month or citizen of the year, you know? They want to be recognized in the community for all their volunteer work. They've done so many hours per year, right? But that's really not what the body of Christ is about, because it's not trying to get your individual accolades. It's about pointing people to God and being in right relationship with Him. So I know you may be tempted to go and lead this one ministry because that's going to build your name. Got to remember, it's not about me. It's not about us as individuals. It's all about God and leading people to know who God is through Jesus Christ, his Messiah. That's what we're supposed to be doing, not building our individual kingdoms. And I'm sure that it breaks God's heart when we, his children, part ways because of our differences. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit that unifies us to do his job. We're allowing the enemy to use us when we can't overcome our need to be right and be in charge of everyone and everything. That's why we have church splits. That's why people have falling out. I want to be in charge. Well, why does Sister Susan get to lead? How come she gets to lead the singing? Because she can sing and it's her gifting. Why do you think you should be leading? Well, because I'm good at it. Oh, really? Okay. Help us out then. And then no, because they don't show up on time. They didn't do all the stuff. Here, this is our list of songs. You're not singing. You're out of key. What's happening? Okay. Stop trying to be in charge of stuff you're not gifted in just because you feel you should be in charge. No. Stop that. That's not what the house of God is about. If you're looking for your own individual claim to fame, it's not the place. It's not the place, not the circumstance. Now, you can do that in other organizations and clubs and volunteer clubs, but not in the house of God. There's no space for that. But that's usually what happens. Somebody wants to be right all the time. They want to be in charge of everybody and everyone. And that's what creates the divisiveness, and that's why we have our church splits. But we must learn to work together for God's glory. When we're united, other godly characteristics come to life. Just like love breeds some of the other things that God wants from us, our unity does the same. We become thankful people when we read the scripture from Paul. We study the word of God for ourselves. We use it for daily living. And we worship together. This is why we gather on each week on Sundays. We gather together to worship together. You can always be worshiping at home and all by yourself. But when we come together, we're acknowledging our unity in Christ. We all live in different places and spaces, have different types of jobs and a varied education. But what is that unifying thing? Our love for Jesus Christ. That's what brings us here Sunday after Sunday. And on Wednesdays, another group of people gathers to show love to the community, to hand out food and to give resources, right? We also come together on Wednesdays to pray. Why? That's how the Holy Spirit unites us. You share what's happening in your life. He shares what's happening in his. I share what's happening in mine. And we all say, yes, and our God reigns. He cares about it all. Let's pray for our world, too. This is what happens when we gather together. This is what unity looks like in the body of Christ. That's what God is expecting from us and for us. He wants that for us. Now look at Paul's summary statement. He says, let everything in our lives, which is words and deeds, be done in Jesus' name. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be done in Jesus' name? Can anyone share in a few words? What does it mean in Jesus' name? His will. Thank you. Anyone else? When we say in Jesus' name, doing it or praying it? Any other thoughts? So when you're doing it in Jesus' name, it's doing his will and giving him glory. Yes. Thank you. I think someone else in the back was going to say something. No? Okay. Yes, that's it. Jesus' will, giving Jesus his glory. Pastor J.D. Greer is a pastor in North Carolina. He explains Jesus' name this way. Christians, which is, I totally relate to this, growing up in church, Christians will typically end their prayers by saying, "In Jesus' name, amen." Yet, most Christians don't know what they mean when they say it. They think it's just a signal to God that they're about done. And so the prayer equivalent of saying, "Okay, I guess I'll talk to you later. Thanks, God. In Jesus' name, amen." But that's not the point, he says. When you say "in Jesus' name," you are saying what we've heard from people here in our congregation. "I'm asking for these things according to Jesus' will, for his glory and in his power. Amen." So this is the attitude and thoughts we must have in response to God's love for us. Because God sent his Messiah, we respond by believing in his Messiah and imitating him. We love God and others because God loves us. Everything we do, we ask the guiding questions. Is this Jesus' will? Will this glorify Jesus? Can this be done through Jesus' power? And if you can answer yes to any of those questions, then you're being more and more like Jesus. And the chances of you putting on that garment of love highly increases. When you think about, is this going to be glorified? Is this part of Jesus' will? Can this be done in his power? Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for your holy word. We really do want to be more and more like Jesus. We want to be in relationship with others and love them like you love us. So God, we ask, help us to choose daily to put on our garment of love so that we can be who you've called us to be, live in unity with the family of God, and bring others to know who Jesus is. We ask all of this for your glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Let us close with a song, and then I'll come back with our benediction.
And we're going to stand, and we're going to close with "Pass It On."
Song to close with. That can be our prayer for this week, that spark that's in us, we would be willing to pass it on so that others can experience that love of God and salvation through Jesus Christ. So go, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that his Holy Spirit is with you to empower you to feed that flame inside you, that you can wear that garment of love and love others, love them into the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Until we meet again, God's peace be with you.